Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, since we last spoke, at which time I reported on 7 shows viewed in 1 week, I then was in London, where I had the privilege of seeing Arthur Miller's All My Sons, starring Bryan Cranston, as the father who turns out to have done some nasty things during the war. It's already selling very well. Cranston's name obviously helps, and the reviews have been very positive. Among other things, it inspired me to go back a bit in theater history. In this production, Cranston's wife is played by the very fine black actress, Marianne Jean-Baptiste. Now, stay with me here. So the fact that their most prominent son character, powerfully played by an actor named Papa Asiedu, is black is not shocking in any way. Now, my hunch is that this was done to head off the controversy sparked by the last All My Sons production in New York, in which a black actor was cast as one son to white parents, leading to the playwright's daughter causing a very loud protest. This had nothing to do with racism, per se, but what she saw as the play's credibility. The issue is obviously still relevant. For example, there has been recent turmoil on Broadway regarding the Tony-winning Maybe Happy Ending, altering that leading man's race. Then again, no one has complained about Lin-Manuel Miranda's changing many of our founding fathers' colors. So the beat goes on. Now, speaking of Broadway, Harry Potter has never been hotter. Tom Felton has returned as Draco, and sales are through the roof. Immediate million-dollar boost. Other big comings and goings there? Well, Jeremy Jordan has returned as Jay Gatsby in The Great Gatsby. He originated the role in 2024, and now he succeeds Ryan McCartan, who has played the main character since Jordan's last appearance, which was on January 19th. And Tony winner, though not for this show, Jonathan Groff announced he will play his final performance as Bobby Darin in Just in Time at Broadway Circle in the Square Theater on March 29th. So you still have plenty of time for that one. His replacement will be announced at a later date. And here comes a newish version of an old show, Marjorie Prime. Jordan Harrison's sci-fi-infused family drama is filled with great names. Legendary actress June Squibb, 2-time Tony winner Cynthia Nixon, and Tony winner Danny Burstein. The production, directed by Ann Kaufman, begins performances at the Helen Hayes Theater this week. The play had its New York premiere off-Broadway in 2015 and was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. And one of my all-time favorites is back, yep, the revival of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee has opened in New World Stages. I'll be there. And here comes one called Picnic at Hanging Rock, the musical, adapted from the novel by Joan Lindsay with book and lyrics by Hilary Bell. That one will begin performances December 16th at the Greenwich House Theater. That's on Barrow Street, and for a limited engagement. And there's always something interesting coming from the public theater. Obie Award-winning playwright and songwriter Ethan Lipton and 2-time Tony nominee director Lee Silverman are bringing the musical The Seat of Our Pants there. This is described as a rollicking adaptation of Thornton Wilder's Pulitzer Prize-winning Skin of Our Teeth. The musical tells the twisting, often absurd story of the Antrobus family who have been alive for 5,000 years. Yes, that one. As for shows closing, now some starry ones bidding farewell, including Art, Waiting for Godot, and Operation Mincemeat. They all had good runs. And it was just announced, this was a surprise, The Queen of Versailles is closing in January. Starring Kristen Chenoweth and F. Murray Abraham, the run was up and now down very quickly. Reviews and sales were obviously poor. On another note, Tom Hanks' show at the Shed, called The World of Tomorrow, received mixed at best notices. The New Yorker called it a clunker. The Daily Beast headline was, Tom Hanks has finally done something wrong. Ouch. Well, I assume folks will continue to spend $700 or so for a ticket. They likely already have. The show is in a limited run. It didn't work for me, but I'd give Tom Hanks an A for effort. As for new books, watch out for one called Never Mind the Happy, Showbiz Stories from a Sore Winner. The author, Mark Shaiman, is a Tony, 2-time Grammy, 2-time Emmy Award winner, and a 7-time Academy Award loser. In Never Mind the Happy, Shaiman looks back on 5 decades of Broadway. Along the way, he charts the personal highs and heartbreaks that have helped shape him, spending his teenage years in community theater, starting a decades-long collaboration with Bette Midler, surviving the AIDS crisis of the 80s, his award-winning film music career in the Hollywood of the 90s. Lots of gossip in this book, and frankly, lots of life lessons. I'm reading a preview copy now, and it's great fun. One more on that front. Cynthia Erivo isn't just on the big screen this holiday season, by the way, breaking all records in Wicked for Good. She has a new book titled Simply More, a book for anyone who has been told they're too much. Finally, our deaths of the past weeks. Two are known mostly in London, but worth celebrating. First, Yvonne Brewster, who received classical stage training in London in the 50s, proceeded to carve an artistic space for herself in her native Jamaica and eventually co-founded one of Britain's foremost theater companies for Black and Caribbean actors, directors, and writers. Continuing our early discussion, when Miss Brewster went to Britain to study acting, she was told that she was unlikely to find jobs because of her race. Well, she proved them wrong. And then there was Nabil Shaban, a British actor and playwright born without the use of his legs. He used his disability to heighten his performances across a wide range of roles, from Hamlet to an alien industrialist on the long-running science fiction series Doctor Who. He died on October 24th at the age of 72. Finally, in America, we lost Elizabeth Franz, whose portrayal of Linda Loman, the wife of the title character in the 1999 Broadway revival of Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman, earned her a Tony Award. Elizabeth Franz had tons of credits, including The Demented Nun in Christopher Durang's Sister Mary Ignatius Explains It All for You, the mother of Matthew Broderick in the Neil Simon comedies Brighton Beach Memoirs and Broadway Bound, and the youngest of 4 sisters in a Broadway revival of Mornings at 7. Whew, quite a career. Well, enjoy and give thanks to your brothers and sisters and other family members this week, and I will see you next time.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.